Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, 22 May, 2025, 2 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 John. Open the word of God to 2 John. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of your word to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We have an update on the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. The Las Ventanas Heaven Special Lesson on Wednesday, March 19th, went well. Those who attended were very enthusiastic about the teaching. In this lesson, Pastor Olson taught from 2 Corinthians chapters 4 and 5. He taught the importance for the believer to maintain the eternal perspective. And by the way, that will fit right in with what we're going to be studying in 2 John tonight. As you as a believer live your life, you need to live your life with your eyes on the eternal perspective. We're all going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and be evaluated. And at that evaluation, it will be determined whether or not you will receive crowns and rewards that glorify God for all eternity, or whether you lose out on all of those crowns and rewards. But your eternity is determined by the decisions you make right now while you're here on this earth. We're not here very long. We're here a short time. We're here a short time from the moment of our salvation to our physical death or the rapture. That's very short. But those decisions you make every single day in your life are vitally important. You have free will. You have a volition. From that volition and free will, you are free to make good decisions, and you are free to make bad decisions. It's all up to you. And you must take total responsibility for every single decision you make in the short time while we are here. So here we have it, and this is Rich is playing the heaven special. And there is the importance of the believer to maintain the eternal perspective as he lives life here on this earth. He also reminded us of the primary objective of the Christian way of life, which is to know the absolute truth and the sound doctrines of the Word of God. And the only way you will ever know the absolute truth and the sound doctrines of the Word of God is to find a sound Bible teaching church and then consistently and faithfully assemble to learn and believe the absolute truth and sound doctrines of the Word of God. Dina Blair was a great help, assisting everyone to look up passages. To God be the glory as he continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas. And your prayers are greatly appreciated. Rich Blair. All right, 2 John. Let's notice the corrected translation of verses 7 and 8. Verse 7. Because many deceivers, false teachers, have gone out into the world, the ones who do not acknowledge and who do not teach Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh, that is, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. This one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. And then verse 8. This is very powerful. It's addressed to every single one of you. It's addressed to me. It's addressed to every believer. Watch out. Watch out for yourselves in order that you do not lose out on those things you have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Full reward. That includes all greater grace blessings God has for you in time, and all greater grace blessings that God has for you for all eternity that will be awarded to you at the judgment seat of Christ. And the word there for reward is the Greek word misthos. M-I-S-T-H-O-S. Misthos. Translated reward. Crowns and rewards given to the believer who uses his free will, his freedom, to make good decisions for God, good decisions for the Word of God, good decisions to live the spiritual life, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attain spiritual maturity, and have virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. All of you have equal privilege and equal opportunity to do that. All of you. You all have the same equal privilege and equal opportunity to live the spiritual life, advance to maturity, and glorify God to the maximum. And when you do that, well, you will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. And you will stand there with absolute confidence. Confidence. And I expect all of you to stand there before Jesus Christ with absolute confidence. Every church-age believer will stand before Christ and be evaluated. Those who make bad decisions, to live by their sin nature and the lust patterns of their sin nature and Satan's cosmic system, they will have shame. They will stand before Christ and be embarrassed. They will stand before Christ with shame because they made bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. They won't lose their salvation. They will live with God forever in heaven. But at that evaluation before the judgment seat of Christ, they will stand there with shame. So every one of you, you're either going to stand before Christ with shame from making bad decisions to live by your sin nature and Satan's cosmic system, or you will stand there with confidence. Confidence. Because you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it will be a fantastic day at the judgment seat of Christ, your evaluation, to see Jesus Christ face to face. So, here we have this amazing verse. Watch out. Watch out for yourselves in order that you do not lose out on those things that you have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. There is no statement in the scriptures that makes clear the relationship between learning, believing the grace and truth of the Word of God and have it in your heart and receiving eternal reward at the judgment seat of Christ than 2 John verse 8. This is powerful. 2 John verse 8 is very powerful. That phrase, watch out for yourself, is an intense warning of a very great danger. And that very great danger is false teaching and false doctrine from false teachers and antichrists, which results in losing out on the full reward in time and for all eternity. The believer must watch out for the disastrous spiritual effects which any compromise with the grace and truth of the Word of God could lead to. The danger is not your loss of salvation. That's impossible. Once you believe in Christ, you have eternal security. You will live with Him for all eternity in heaven. But what you're in danger of losing is the loss of misthos, rewards, crowns and rewards, loss of greater grace blessing for time and greater grace blessing for eternity. The false teachers and the antichrists are a dangerous threat to the believer in Jesus Christ, keeping you from fulfilling God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. And this brought us to the doctrine of the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible has a lot to say about our evaluation at the judgment seat of Christ. We're living in the church age. And the next thing at the end of the church age is the rapture of the church. Following the rapture of the church is our evaluation. We will all be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ. So we are studying the doctrine of the judgment seat of Christ, and we're halfway through point one, just point one. Point one is definition, description, and application. And we've already studied the first nine subpoints of that. We noted, first of all, that the judgment seat of Christ is a technical, theological term used to designate our evaluation, the evaluation of the royal family of God at the end of the church age, after the rapture, after the resurrection of the church. This evaluation is determined on the basis of living the unique spiritual life of the church age or failure to do so. The purpose of the evaluation is to determine gain or loss of reward, misthos, in our verse, verse 8. Gain comes from living the spiritual life by the grace and the power of God. It comes from growing up spiritually in grace, grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord Jesus Christ, fulfilling the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18. It includes attaining spiritual maturity. It includes having virtue love, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. However, loss comes from making bad decisions, to live your life by the power of the sin nature with its lust patterns. It comes from reversionism. It comes from living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. It also means your greater grace blessing for eternity will remain on deposit forever as the memorial to lost opportunity. Performance, not salvation, performance is the issue at the judgment seat of Christ. The winner believer will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. The cosmic believer, the loser believer, will suffer temporary shame. He will lose out on his rewards, misthos, but he will never, ever lose his salvation. It's impossible for any believer in Jesus Christ to lose his salvation. You have eternal security. And therefore, this makes one thing very obvious. Because of the judgment seat of Christ, there will be no equality in heaven. No equality among believers. Since God is perfect, the inequality is a perfect inequality. And this inequality is not discrimination. It's not unfairness. God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. He's infinitely fair to all. He is infinitely fair. Inequality exists in heaven because of lost opportunity under the equal privilege and equal opportunity every believer has to make good decisions, to live the spiritual life and glorify God to the maximum. Now we have studied those in 9 subpoints. Now, 10. You're ready? 10. Inequality in the eternal state means there will be those believers who make bad decisions, who use their freedom that God has given to you, to make bad decisions. You see, every one of us as believers, God's given us a volition. God has given every one of us a free will. We all have freedom. Freedom to make good decisions and advance to maturity and glorify God to the maximum. We have freedom to make bad decisions. Bad decisions to live our life by our sin nature and its lust patterns. You all have free will. You all have freedom. The question is, what are you going to do with the freedom that God has given you? When God created man, he provided within the soul of man a free will. We all have a free will. You're free to succeed. You're free to fail. It's all up to you. You're free to advance to maturity and glorify God to the maximum. If you do that, when you stand before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, you will stand there with great confidence and great happiness. If you make bad decisions from your free will to live your life out of fellowship with God by the lust patterns of your sin nature and Satan's cosmic system, you will stand there before Christ with embarrassment. Embarrassment and shame. So inequality in the eternal state means the neglect of your freedom that God has given you in time. To make freedom, to make either good decisions and become a winner believer, or make bad decisions and become a loser believer. God, in His infinite and matchless grace, has provided enough freedom with equal privilege and equal opportunity. You all have the same equal privilege and equal opportunity. God has given that to you by His grace. You all have the same equal privilege and equal opportunity, so that there is no excuse for any believer failing to live the spiritual life and failing to glorify God to the maximum. This freedom to exercise your options and make good decisions to live the spiritual life is your responsibility as a believer. Having winners and losers in the eternal state does not imply that there will be any unhappiness. There is no unhappiness in heaven. But there are degrees of happiness based on the great inequalities among believers. 11. The distinctions and inequalities in eternity are so great that every one of you should seriously reconsider your motivations, your decisions, your goals in life. The distinctions and inequalities in eternity are so great that every one of you should seriously reconsider your decisions that you make, your motivations, your actions, your goals in life. You must live your life in the light of eternity. See, that's what was in the Heaven series that Rich was playing at Las Ventanas. You must live your life in the light of eternity, as unto the Lord, to please the Lord. 12. Regardless of the historical circumstances in which you live, whether you live where there is great establishment freedom, or whether you live in tyranny, and there are Christians all around the world living in tyranny, but they have spiritual freedom. They have equal privilege and equal opportunity to learn the Word of God, believe the Word of God, advance to maturity, and glorify God to the maximum. So regardless of the historical circumstances in which you live, whether under establishment freedom or under tyranny, you have been graciously provided by God with the full spiritual freedom to live the spiritual life and glorify God to the maximum. Regardless of the historical circumstances in which you live, whether under establishment freedom or tyranny, you have been graciously provided by God with the full spiritual freedom to live the spiritual life. John 8, Verse 32 says, "You shall know the truth, the word of God, and the truth will make you free." If you are positive, God will provide the truth of the word of God no matter where you are. And there are Christians all around the world. There are Christians in Vietnam. There are Christians in China. There are Christians in North Korea. If you are positive, God will provide the truth of the word of God no matter where you are. And those Christians in those nations, they put their life on the line every time they assemble to worship the Lord and study the word of God. They put their life on the line. And they are there day after day after day after day. And they know that they might be killed by going to worship. You know you're not going to be killed by coming to Upland Bible Church. Most Christians in America don't even care if they go to church or not. Not a big deal. But for Christians in most of the world, they are under horrible persecution. And they put their life on the line to assemble, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ through the study of the mind of Christ day after day after day, knowing that just having a Bible, they might be put to death. They know that. You don't have that kind of thinking. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom, experiential freedom, that Christ has set us free." That's positional freedom. "Therefore, keep on standing firm and do not become entangled again in the yoke of slavery." The yoke of slavery, don't get out of fellowship and put your life under the authority of the sin nature and live in Satan's cosmic system. "Do not use your freedom to make bad decisions." That's what Galatians 5:1 is saying. 2 Corinthians 3:17, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." So when you live the spiritual life by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Keep on walking by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. You have freedom. You have freedom to live the spiritual life, advance to maturity, and glorify God to the maximum. God has given you that fantastic spiritual life with the power of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. James 1:25. "But the one who looks intently into the perfect law," the Word of God, "that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard from the Word of God, but executing it, learning it, believing it, applying it to your life, this believer will be happy in what he is doing." James 1:25. So, a principle. This believer will come to the end of his life with no regrets. No regrets. He used his freedom to make good decisions, to live the spiritual life, to live by the power of the Spirit of God, made good decisions to assemble in a sound Bible teaching church and learn the Word of God consistently and faithfully and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attain spiritual maturity and glorify God to the maximum. That believer will have no regrets. James 2:12. "So keep speaking and keep doing as those who are going to be judged by the law of freedom." Keep speaking and keep doing as those who are going to be judged by the law of freedom. Now, this law of freedom says that God has provided a spiritual life for you. so that you can grow up spiritually in grace, grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a freedom totally apart from any national or establishment freedom. It is the freedom from living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. And therefore, at the judgment seat of Christ, the first issue that you will face in your new resurrection body is how you use this freedom that God has given to you. What did you do with this freedom God gave to you? 13. So freedom means inequality. Freedom means inequality, both in time and in eternity. You are all free to succeed or free to fail. You're free to stand on your own decisions and motives and actions. Freedom means individual responsibility and motivation. Freedom means you must have your very own scale of values and priorities. 14. At the judgment seat of Christ, you are evaluated on how you used your freedom. At the judgment seat of Christ, you are evaluated on how you used your freedom. Because having freedom means you must take the responsibility for every decision that you make. At the judgment seat of Christ, you are evaluated on how you used your freedom. Because having freedom means you must take the responsibility for every decision you make. And therefore, being free is the greatest responsibility that you will ever know. Freedom means some will take their volition and develop a system of spiritual priorities. By the way, this is where our Thursday night class correlates with our Tuesday night class, Zechariah. The Jewish remnant are back in the land. There's no fortifications, no walls around Jerusalem. But God tells them. Tells Zechariah. Zechariah teaches all the remnant. First things first. Spiritual priorities first. We must rebuild the temple. That has to come first. Don't worry about your enemies all around you. Jesus Christ said, I will protect you. I will be the wall of fire. You put spiritual priority first. Not building houses and pools and going golfing and all the things. You know how all the places to play golf in Jerusalem. It's all over the place. You know. Spiritual priorities first. And so they rebuilt the temple. Why did they have to put spiritual priorities first? Why was it important to rebuild the temple? Because the living and true God, Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, when the temple's completed in the Holy of Holies, the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, will live right there. And now they have the basis for worshiping God. They have the Levitical priesthood. They have the high priest. And he's the only one that's allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. But now there is worship, the worship of the living and true God, Jesus Christ. Now there was the priesthood and the teaching of Bible doctrine. There's the prophet Zechariah teaching and Haggai teaching the Word of God. Worshiping the Lord was number one. That is more important than anything else, all the other things. And that's what we have here. That's the same principle that we have here. So freedom means some will take their volition and develop a system of spiritual priorities and stick to them, becoming organized in their minds and resulting in becoming a winner believer. However, others will depart from those priorities whenever they feel like it. So, a principle. You will answer for the use of your freedom to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself at the judgment seat of Christ. You will answer for the use of your freedom to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself at the judgment seat of Christ. Inequality exists the moment that freedom starts. Inequality exists the moment that freedom starts. You see, inequality is always the greatest monument to freedom. 16. Believers who are constantly failing to live the spiritual life lack four things. Believers who are constantly failing to live the spiritual life lack four things. Number one, they have no true standards. They have no true standards. They cannot distinguish God's plan for their life from Satan's cosmic system. They cannot distinguish God's plan for their life from Satan's cosmic system. Satan is the greatest counterfeiter of all time. Isaiah 14, I will be like the Most High God. He is the greatest counterfeiter of all time. And he has his system. But these believers who are constantly failing to live the spiritual life, they have no true standards. They can't distinguish between God's plan for their life and Satan's counterfeit, the cosmic system. Secondly, these believers have no effectiveness. No effectiveness at all. Their life has no meaning, no purpose, no definition. The cosmic believer cannot be distinguished from any unbeliever. They either imitate the moral unbeliever or they imitate the immoral unbeliever. If they go to church once in a while and nod to God, why, they're similar to the moral unbeliever. If they never go and they're operating by the lust pattern of the sin nature, they imitate the immoral unbeliever. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance of God and His Word is blasphemy and is disastrous to your life. And this is why God so often punishes and disciplines, because we have to be brought to the end of our resources before we realize what is truly important in life. So these believers have no true standard. These believers have no effectiveness. Number three, they have no coordination. They have bad timing. They are not in sync with God's plan, will, and purpose for their life. Ignorance of the Word of God means no orientation to the plan of God. And therefore, the believer makes bad decisions from a position of weakness. He makes bad decisions based on arrogance and personal ambition. And he has no control over his life. And he has no personal sense of destiny. And number four, they have no performance. There's no spiritual momentum in their life. There's no spiritual life. There's no virtue. There's no divine good production in their life, which is the result of living the spiritual life. There is no glorification of God. And they will have no rewards, no rewards, no decorations at the judgment seat of Christ. 17. While the believer cannot lose his salvation, you have eternal security. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, at that moment of faith in Jesus Christ, you receive the gift of eternal life. And you will live with God forever. Whether you're winner believer or loser believer, you will live with God forever in heaven. While the believer cannot lose his salvation as a loser believer, the privileges, the rewards, and the decorations that are given to winner believers will never be his throughout all eternity. While the believer cannot lose his salvation as a loser believer, the privileges, rewards, and decorations that are given to winner believers will never be his throughout all eternity. 18. The evaluator of each believer is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. The evaluator of each believer is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. It won't be God the Father. It won't be God the Holy Spirit. God the Father made that very clear. John chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. In John 5, 22 and 23, moreover, the Father judges no one. The Father judges no one. But he has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So the evaluator is the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, that's point one. Point two. The time of the judgment seat of Christ. The time of the judgment seat of Christ. So point one. First of all, the dispensation of the church age. We're living in the church age. Church age began at Pentecost. Church age will end with the rapture. Now, when will the rapture take place? It's signless and timeless. We don't know. God knows. We don't know. with everything is already set up in the world for the Antichrist, Satan's man, to come on the scene. And he will come on the scene right after the rapture, right after the resurrection of the royal family of God of the church age. Now, there's been a lot of members of the royal family of God that have lived and died, lived and died, lived and died, lived and died. But there will be one generation that will not die physically. The rapture will take place in the twinkling of an eye. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And that's billions and billions of believers in the church age. They will rise first. And then those who are alive will join to meet them with Jesus Christ in the atmospheric heavens around the earth. And I personally, you want to come back and meet with me? I think we're pretty close to the rapture. I think we're very close. In fact, a part of my prayer now is that, Father, we can see everything that's taking place in the world today. I pray, Father, that you might open the eyes of people all around the world to see Jesus Christ and the grace gospel. I pray, sir, there might be a magnificent spiritual revival before the rapture, because it seems like the rapture is very close. And I would love, wouldn't it be great to have a great spiritual revival before the rapture? So, first of all, the dispensation of the church age must come to an end. And this occurs at the rapture, the resurrection of the church. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, great passage. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. The Apostle Paul, by the way, Thessalonica is where? Macedonia. He loved the churches in Thessalonica. He never had to assert his apostolic authority when he wrote 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians. He didn't have to. These people were with Paul 100%, right down the line. So 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. Brothers, that's church age saints, royal family of God, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. That's his description of the Christian who dies, that he's simply sleeping. Or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. The rest of men who have no hope, that's the unbelievers. Unbelievers have no hope. 14. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him, the death of the believer in the church age. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep, those Christians who have died. There's an order here. The dead go first, and then the living ones second. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven, that is the third heaven, from the third heaven, come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel. That's Gabriel. And Gabriel assembles those who are alive at the rapture. The loud command and the voice of the archangel Gabriel. And with the trumpet call of God, that's the assembling the dead in Christ to receive their resurrection body. The dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up. Caught up, Well, we had this the other day. There is no word rapture, but this is the word harpazo. Looks like that in the Greek, H-A-R-P-A-Z, long O, harpazo. It literally means to snatch up, catch up. In fact, it was used of a lion that came along, grabbed you by the head, snatched you away. That's, you don't want to be raptured that way. Who will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. A-E-R, that's the atmospheric heavens. The atmospheric heaven. To meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. And therefore, comfort one another with these words, these doctrines. So, first of all, the dispensation of the church age must come to an end. And this occurs at the rapture of the church. So all church age believers, both those living at the time of the rapture and those who have died, will join Christ in the air. No man knows the day or the hour of the rapture. You cannot afford to have ignorance about a doctrine that is so important as the judgment seat of Christ, because you are responsible for your ignorance. Your ignorance is never anyone else's fault. It's your fault, 100%. Your ignorance is never anyone else's fault. God will always provide the Word of God to anyone who is positive. If you are positive, God will provide a teacher to teach the absolute truth of the Word of God. So if you are ignorant, it is because you either do not expose yourself to the truth by attendance in a sound Bible teaching church, or though you do attend, you don't listen, but you resent or react or reject the teaching of the God-breathed scriptures. Revelation 22, verse 12 says, "Behold, I am coming soon." This is Jesus Christ. "I am coming soon, and my reward." Well, there's our word we had beginning. Misthoth. That's our word in verse 8. "And my reward, my misthoth, is with me to decorate each winner believer according to his accomplishments." Now that word soon, "I am coming soon," that teaches the imminency of the rapture. "For there is no prophecy left to be fulfilled before the rapture occurs." This verse says that winner believers will receive their misthos, their reward, their greater grace blessing for all eternity at the judgment seat of Christ. Revelation 22, verse 12. 2. The judgment seat of Christ does not immediately follow the rapture. We have the rapture first, and then there's one more event that takes place before the judgment seat of Christ. So it's rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God at the end of the church age. Then there's a second event before the judgment seat of Christ. So the judgment seat of Christ does not immediately follow the rapture. First of all, there is an unprecedented event of worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this event can be called the big genuflex in the sky. The big genuflex in the sky. You know what? I can't wait for the big genuflex in the sky. I will have a resurrection body. If I did a big genuflex now, you'd have to carry me out of here. I barely made it up here tonight. My knees suck. But I'm here. But when I have a resurrection body, I can genuflex. I'm going to genuflex and genuflex and genuflex. The big genuflex in the sky. Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore also God, that's God the Father, has exalted Him, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the maximum. In fact, He has given Him a royal title, which is superior to every royal title. King of kings and Lord of lords, the bright morning star, that in the presence of the person of Christ, every knee in heaven shall bow, both the ones on the earth, the believers who are still living at the time of the rapture, and the ones under the earth, the believers who have died before the rapture. And every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. 3. The judgment seat of Christ follows the great genuflex in the sky. The judgment seat of Christ follows the great genuflex in the sky, Philippians 2, 9 through 11. 4, the judgment seat of Christ takes place in heaven. And it takes place in heaven while the tribulation is going on planet Earth. So the judgment seat of Christ takes place in heaven. Our evaluation takes place in heaven. And while that's going on, the 7-year tribulation is going on earth with the Antichrist. 5, then we return with Christ at His second advent. We return with Him as He begins His reign in the millennial kingdom. 1,000 years of perfection. Perfect righteousness, perfect justice, perfect prosperity, perfect peace. And that will be when the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, returns at the second advent. All right. That's point 2. Hoo-ah. Come back next week. Point 3. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.